Hello, welcome to the Millionaire Woman Show, where we'll be discussing leadership, business, and human potential, inspiring you to live rich from the inside out. Unlock your creativity, stretch out of your comfort zone, break through your barriers, take inspired action, and achieve epic results. Now, here's your host, two-time best-selling author, speaker, and certified executive coach, Deborah Kosowski.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Millionaire Woman Show. I am so excited. I have a special treat for you. This week, we're doing double whammy of interviews, and my guest, Lolly Deskel, is one of the most sought-after executive leadership coaches in the world. Her extensive cross-cultural expertise spans 14 countries, 6 languages, and hundreds of companies. As founder and CEO of Lead From Within, her proprietary leadership program is engineered to be the catalyst for leaders who want to enhance performance and make a meaningful difference in their companies, their lives, and the world. Based on a mix of modern philosophy, science, and nearly 30 years of coaching top executives, Lolly's perspective on leadership continues to break new ground and produce exceptional results. Of her many awards and accolades, Lolly was designated Top 50 Leadership Management Expert by Inc. magazine. Her writing has appeared in Harvard Business Review, Inc.com, Fast Company Asks the Expert, Huffington Post, Psychology Today, and others. Lolly's proprietary insights are the subject of her new book, Leadership Gap, What Gets Between You and Your Greatness, is available for pre-order at www.theleadershipgapbook.com. So excited to have you, Lolly. Welcome to our show.
I'm so excited to be here. It's a true privilege.
You know, when we talk about leadership on the show and, you know, the audience is out there thinking, am I truly a leader? What do you think it takes for someone to be a leader?
And I'm so happy you asked that question because I have been asked that question for over 3 decades. And maybe my definition of leadership is very different from others. I believe that a leader is someone who makes an impact and influences someone. So think about your own lives. Are you a mom? Are you a dad? Are you a coach? Are you a relative? If you're impacting someone, if you're influencing someone, guess what? You are a leader.
And that's very true. And this is what I want to help shift the audience's perspective, because they're saying, you know, some people are born with leadership. I wasn't born with that skill and I'm working at it, but they fail to realize the power that they have, even if they help change one person.
Absolutely. So think about it this way. If people say, oh, they were born with the skills of leadership, that's good. But if we feel we're not born with the skills of leadership, what would it take for us to learn? What would it take for us to develop? What would it take for us to excel? The truth is, we are impacting people. We are influencing people. But are we influencing and impacting to the best of our ability? That's another question that I think is very important. So if you feel you're not born with it, go and get maybe the leadership gap, what gets between you and your greatness, and learn what it means to be the best leader that you can be.
I can't wait for this book to come out. So what's the problem with leadership today?
So leadership today is that people feel that they are leaders and I'm not a leader. And we just touched upon it, is that we are all leaders. We can all make an influence. We can all make an impact. We can all make a difference. And it's not about them. And it's not about her or him. It's really about us. It's really about who we are. And so leadership today is about us. It's about you.
So this triggers me to my next question, because I've been in organizations where there's individuals who have that us versus me mentality, or they versus me mentality. And what they think is the management team or the higher level owes them something and they should be doing the change, but they don't see themselves as that catalyst. How do you bridge that?
So the thing is, it starts with responsibility and accountability. If we're always pointing the finger at them, right? If we always point a finger at them, the truth is three fingers are pointing at us. Accountability and responsibility starts with us. If we want to see the change has to start from here. I can't expect others to be what we want them to be. We need to lead by example. We need to show what we want and what we find that is great in leadership.
So what's different about the approach that you take in your new book, The Leadership Gap?
So maybe many of you don't know me, but I read a book a day. And people who know me know this about me, and I've been doing it for over 28 years. And I read books about leadership and business. And in many of the books, most of the books talk about how you should do things, when you should do things, where you should do things. A few years ago, why you should do things and why you should be a certain way became very famous. But what makes my book different is a couple of things. The first thing is we talk about who you need to be while you're leading. Because I find who you are being is more important than what you are doing. The second thing is that once you find out who you need to be, because I talk about seven archetypes you need to be, what we don't understand is that within these archetypes, there is a polarity of character. So for everything that we see great, there is something within us that it causes us to have a gap and can sabotage us. And if we don't know them, if we're not familiar with them, they can cost us in our greatness.
It's so coincidental that you just said that, because on my Mastery Monday that I do on Facebook Live, I was talking about how people have this perception of perfection. They have this, that their perception is this reality, but when they long for something, they don't realize that they actually have some of those traits inside of them already, and how they are sabotaging themselves. Because when people used to say, oh, Deb, you make things look so perfect. And I'm like, but I'm not perfect. I already know that. I know this. But what I heard then was the excuse about why they didn't think that they could do it. And that's how they started to sabotage the actions. Because then all of a sudden they had an excuse of why not to take action.
Right. Very well put.
So who inspired your unique leadership model?
So I have three mentors that have inspired what I do and how I do things and actually who I am. The first one is Viktor Frankl. When I read the book, The Man's Search for Meaning, I knew immediately that I was going to live my life, that through any challenge that I would have, I would find meaning in the suffering and in the challenges. And it really helped me create this like code of life for myself, and then help my clients with when they were facing challenges, that I can find some meaning in any crisis. Now, at the level that I coach, crisis and challenges is an everyday event. And so we really, and not to get bogged down, not to feel like we're standing in cement, you really have to find the meaning for the challenge and the crisis. The second two mentors are everything to me. It was Joseph Campbell who taught me that there are many myths, there are many stories that we all tell, and that we have a lot of things in common. And he's taught me the most beautiful concept that in our abyss, right, in our darkest moments, that's where we find our challenge, that's where we find our treasures. And can you imagine that if you're struggling right now, and if you can imagine that in this moment, there is a treasure, your life would change. And then the third one is Carl Gustav Jung. Jung taught me about archetypes, but he also taught me that there are shadows within ourselves, that if we're not mindful and if we don't pay attention to them, and what I do is I learn to leverage these gaps, it can end up costing us on what we want to do in life. So between Frankl and Campbell and Jung, these are my three mentors. This is the science, the philosophy, and the psychology that I base my system on.
I actually just finished listening to the audio of Viktor Frankl, The Man's Search for Meaning. And there was parts of it that I found very challenging to hear, because I listened to audio when I was at the gym. But at the same time, to see what he saw in every situation that even knowing that he may not see his wife and all these moments, but to be present where he was, to find the meaning and how to make something better and help people with their mindset, even in the worst of time.
Right.
And
did you not like the quote in the book where he says, when you're in a challenge situation and you cannot change the situation, we're challenged to change ourselves. I mean, how, if we just made that our mantra, wouldn't our lives be so different?
Very, very, because the actions would be totally different. Because when we see the challenge, we can step up to the plate and say, okay, I know what this is. I know what I'm supposed to be doing. Right. But all too often, we shrink down from that challenge. And I'm really excited to see how you approach this gap and using these mentors. So when you, we need to have mentorship in leadership. And, you know, people are like, well, I have to go hire someone. I don't have money or you know, this mentor or this mentor, or think that they're unattainable to have them as a mentor. What would you recommend to those people? Because I know that there's listeners out there already saying, well, that's nice, but how do I get a mentor? Why are they important?
I have to be very honest with you. I have many mentors in my life, but I've never met them. I've met them through their books. I've met them through their words. I make their words a way I live. And the truth is, we get mentors in different ways. If you want to meet someone, then think of how you can connect with them. See what they write about, see what they say, and write a little note. I read this that you wrote and how it touched you. Trust me, you'll get a note back. People will call you back. People will write back. It's one thing to say, I want to meet you and, you know, I want you to be my mentor. It's another thing to say why you connect with them, why you want them to be your mentor. But for me, I get my mentors from my books. I always have. I read biographies. I get lessons from the biographies. I feel like JFK and I are friends because I read how he was courageous when everybody else was against him, how he stood his ground in crisis. And I was like, wow, he mentored me on that. He taught me something. So I get my mentors from books.
And they're important to have because it's like that they're there guiding you. Like you said, you took that message that JFK had and you took it and you were able to say, oh my gosh, he just helped me through this mentor, this piece. When I watched the movie Hidden Figures, that was exactly one of the things that I thought of when I saw these women empowered. And it's too bad, you know, that the timing of a movie is always at the right time. Same with the book, your book that's coming out. It's always at the right timing. But to hear that it was a true story that's just coming out, you know, that part saddened me. But at the same time, I knew it always has its timing. But to sit there and watch these women persevere because they had something, that deeper calling within them to go after what they wanted, but also to lead by example, was the biggest lesson to always remember. So what are the 7 leader archetypes that you've identified in your work?
So they stand for an acronym of RETHINK. And I want to explain why I called it RETHINK. Most of us do a lot of thinking, right? We think we know, we think we know how, we think we know when, we think we know why. But the truth is, if you want to take yourself to the next level, you sometimes really need to rethink what you do know and what you don't know. And in order to do that, you have to follow these 7 archetypes. It's for rethink, it's the rebel, the explorer, the truth teller, the hero, so it's R. I have to do the letters because the R is the rebel, the E is the explorer, the T is the truth teller, the H is the hero, the I is the inventor, the N is the navigator, and the K is the knight.
Excellent. Wow. Can you tell us a little bit, you know, which archetypes are most important to have? Tell us a little bit more about those archetypes.
And I'm so happy that you asked that question because most people will be thinking the same exact thing. Which archetype do I lean into, right? And that's a normal question because we've been conditioned that we're one thing. We have one niche. We are one type. You know, Myers-Briggs, StrengthFinders, all of this, and DISC, everything, Enneagram have taught us we're one kind. But the truth is, and this is what I learned from Jung, is that we're the sum of all our parts. We are all of these seven archetypes, and these archetypes are situational, meaning that at any given moment, we can decide, will I stand in my greatness or will I lead from my gap? Which archetype do I need to be in order to take myself to the next level? The choice is always yours. You just have to know the rethink system, and then it will give you which one will give you your greatness and which one your gap.
So thinking about some of the books that you've read, is there any, can you give us some examples of who would be the rebel or who would be the knight or who would be the truth teller?
So let's talk about the rebel. People think a rebel is someone who's a revolutionary person, right? They're making a ruckus, but it's not true. The rebel is someone as a gentle warrior like Frances Hesselbein. Frances Hesselbein was a woman that she's all, I think, 4'11". She's really short. She's very petite. But when she walks into the room, she has presence. She took an organization like the Girl Scouts of America and changed it all around. She wanted to make sure that every single girl would find themselves in the message of the Girl Scouts of America, and she changed the whole company. When you meet her, she'll tell you, I only had a son. I didn't know what I was doing. That's not true. What's really true about Frances is she was passionate about a cause. She was confident and competent to change the world when it came to the Girl Scouts of America. So think of yourself, like, what are you passionate about? How do you want to make an impact in the world? And what do you have confidence and competence about that you can create a difference, that you can make an impact?
Wow. And the small and mighty is basically, yeah, when you think, you know, people think that I have to be a certain type of person to make that revolutionary change. How about the knight? What would be the example of the knight?
So the knight is someone who's extremely loyal to their organization. And in my book, I talk about Daniel Lebutsky, and he's the founder and the CEO of the Kind Snack Company. Everything about Daniel is about his people. Everything that Daniel does is about his company. He wants to give back to his employees. He calls them family. He calls them, once you start in my company, you're part of my family. When you walk in there, those are his children. He is so loyal and so caring and so protective of them that you just want to work there. I mean, I have my own business and I'm like, I love it here. I want to work here. You know, a leader that is loyal, because for them, a knight is all about loyalty. They're protective and they want to serve you and they want to make you happy and they care about you. And so those kinds of leaders are fantastic leaders.
So when it comes to company culture, what is culture and how does it show up? Like, this is a really great example about thinking about a company's culture for people to be drawn into wanting to work somewhere. What does culture mean to you?
So the thing about culture is that most people will say, Lolly, I want to hire you as a coach that could help us, a business consultant, help us with our culture. So we're going to come up with values and we're going to come up with a mission and we're going to come up with a vision. And then we're going to put it on our wall and we'll put it in our newsletter. And when our clients call, our customers call, we'll tell them what we stand for. And I just say, great, that's good. That's not enough. What you need to do, what is culture? It needs to start from the top. It needs to start from Daniel. Daniel leads by example. Daniel is protective. Daniel is serving others. Daniel is loyal. Daniel makes everyone feel safe. And because that is true, every single person knows what's important to Daniel. Makes it important to themselves. They follow his lead. Everybody there cares about each other. Everybody's protective. You can come up with your mission. You can come up with your values, but make sure you lead by example. And something is very important. I know we're covering the archetypes in a way that talks about the greatness, but I really want to go back a little bit and talk about the rebel and even the knight, that there is a gap, a polarity within these companies, within this leadership, that we have to be very mindful because they do exist. And when they do exist, it can cost us in our business. It can cost us in our leadership.
So it's almost too much of a good thing.
Well, so let's go to the rebel for a minute. And it's not too much of a good thing.
Okay.
But it's there is this polarity. So let's talk about the rebel. And we talked about Frances being confident and competent, but I want to talk about that just a little bit deeper. For me, confidence is not standing in front of the mirror and saying, I am the greatest, I am the best. That's not what confidence is. Confidence comes from your capabilities plus your competence equal confidence. So confidence is, yes, it's believing you're able, but competence is knowing you're able. Mm-hmm. When you know you're able, guess what? You take action. Frances Hesselbein knew what she was good at and she took action, right? So it gave her the confidence. But for every single rebel that is passionate about a cause, who knows their competence, and knows their confidence, there is a gap. And I have found in my research that 99.1% of high-achieving individuals suffer from this. And that is the imposter who has self-doubt. So every time you want to do something significant in the world, you want to be passionate about a cause, there's something inside you that says, you're not good enough, you're not perfect enough, right? You brought this up earlier. You're not perfect enough, you're not deserving enough. Look at her, she's got it together. I don't have it together. And when that happens, guess what happens? It gets us stuck. It keeps us from our greatness. And if we're not mindful, and if we don't know how to leverage it, then guess it costs us. It doesn't get us what we want in life. So we have to be very mindful. And that's why this book is so different. It's different because it teaches you, it's almost like having me as your coach. It teaches you for everything that you want to do, there is a gap. And if you don't, you're not aware of the gap, you don't know how to leverage it.
You know, when I sit there thinking about when people know that they're able to do something, and they sit back and don't do anything, what a waste. What a waste of talent. What a waste of just, and it's not a waste. It's like you're holding back from sharing what you know, what you can make a really meaningful change. Because look at the change that she made. And had she sat back and thought, oh, you know, I don't have any girls. I only have a son. What difference can I make? But look at the huge thing that she had accomplished just because she did take action to know that she was capable of doing something.
Absolutely.
So for our listeners, if you know you're capable of doing something, I want to encourage you to really go out and make that change if it's meaningful to you. And there's also something that in your book, you talk about shadow traits. What are those?
So those are the gaps. Those are the gaps in the archetypes that if we're not aware of, we don't know how to leverage. And think about it this way. Think of your life as a balloon. And in this balloon is all your experiences, all your memories, all your strengths, and all your weaknesses. And if on the left side of the balloon is all your weaknesses, and you try to hide them, and you try to mask them, and you try to squish them down, what happens to the balloon? It just moves over, right? Anytime you squish down on something, you try to hide it, and you don't want anybody to see it, it just has a tendency to then reveal itself somewhere else. So I'm not big into masking or squishing or saying they don't exist. I am really big on learning how to leverage it in order to become a whole person, my weaknesses and my strength, my gaps and my greatness.
So how does a leader, how do these traits get between the leader and their greatness?
So the thing is, if you know that you want to do something great in the world, right? And you know your competence, and you just said it a few minutes ago, if you're capable and you don't do anything, if you allow the imposter who have self-doubt get in the way, it costs you on being great. It costs, and when I say great, I mean purposeful. I mean meaningful. I mean successful. What it's meant, what you are meant to do, that unique thing that you're meant to do.
So who's an example, when we look at the leaders out there, who's an example who's been constrained by those shadow traits?
So that's something that I don't want to do because I'm really not big on naming things, but maybe, you know, if we look at presidents that we maybe have been electing, there's some that are leading from their leadership gap. And one of the leadership archetypes is, you know, the knight who's all about others. Well, guess what their leadership archetype is? It's the mercenary who's all about me. Any single leader that gets up and says, I am going to make this country great, and I am the only one that can make this country great, is a mercenary who's self-serving. Because we all know leadership is not about me. Leadership is about we. We together will make a difference. You need us as much as we need you. One person themselves will not make anything great, because that's not what leadership is. You need to have followers in order to be called leader. You can't call yourself leader if there are no followers.
So, and I really appreciate like the not naming, because we don't want to label anyone, because we hope that they're going to step into that capability or have a self-awareness moment.
if they're narcissistic, no.
Truth.
So they need to be, you need to be an aware person in order to leverage. If there's no awareness, there's no leveraging. You have to first admit, I'm in my gap. If you can't admit you're in your gap, there's nothing really to do. If you think you're the greatest, where do you go from that?
Yeah, there's no room to grow.
Right. I think it was Jung or it was Campbell that said, you know, you have to have the crack to let the light in. And right now, maybe they're cracked up, but they're not showing us the crack.
Yeah, that's true. So how do we take this shadow trait that comes across as the negative, the darkness, and turn it into that light, that crack where, that you're talking about, letting that light in, that positive energy?
So let's talk about the leveraging the imposter, because that people, all of us can relate to. I can relate to also. So the first thing you have to understand, where does that imposter get birthed, right? How does it come about? It comes about by comparing ourselves to others. Right? If we're always looking over our shoulder, if we're always saying, look at her, she did this, she did that, she can do this, then what happens is that you can't concentrate on yourself because you're so busy looking at others. So the first thing I would say is stop comparing yourself to others, because there will always be someone wiser, smarter, prettier, richer, wealthier than we are. The only thing that we can do is measure ourselves against ourselves. So we can think about, okay, today I did this, but what can I do tomorrow to be better than I was today? Only measure yourself by today. The second thing is, most of us sit and make long lists of all the things we're not good at. I'm not good at this, I can't do this, I don't know this, I still need to learn this. The way to leverage that is to think about all the things you did great today. How did somebody pay you a compliment? What did you learn today? And to counterbalance all the negative messages with all the positive messages. So I give in the book like 6 to 7 ways, but these are two very important ways that we could immediately start leveraging the imposter who has self-doubt.
Yeah. And I can see myself also in having those moments where I was comparing myself to other people, and I've learned that it doesn't serve you. And you also lose sight of all the exceptional things that you bring to the world. Because if we were all the same, it would be pretty boring. And when we start to realize that we have these differences that make us unique, and how to leverage those traits to be the leaders that we're meant to be, because we don't all speak the same language. We don't all resonate with the same person. So I really appreciate that you address that. So what can any leader do to go from good to being great?
So the first thing they can do is rethink. Rethink who you are while you are leading. When you know your 7 archetypes, then you can choose in the moment who you're going to be. And then what I think every leader needs to understand, and this is for all of us because we're all leaders, right? We defined us as leaders. We need to constantly be learning, expanding, and growing in order that we can grow into our greatness.
So who is one leader that you have seen as being great, that you have personally taken traits from to say, you know what, I really like what they stand for. I want to emulate some of that in what I do.
So I coach at City of Hope out in California, and it's a cancer research center hospital. And the CEO, Robert W. Stone, who's in my book, who I call the sum of all the parts, you know, he is the kind of leader that is the rebel and the explorer and the truth teller and the navigator and the inventor and the knight. He personifies all those leaders in one. He leads his company that way. And the truth is that he's not, you don't read about him all the time in the newspapers, and he's not out saying he's great and he's going to make things great. He's such a gentle warrior, but he's such a strong individual that if we can emulate who Robert W. Stone is from City of Hope, the CEO, we will have a much better world because he's such a servant leader. He's such an amazing human being. And the truth is, besides Robert, we just look at people in our lives, who do we admire? Look at those traits and see how you can emulate them.
See, and what I really love, Lolly, is that you just brought up is you have someone that is the everyday person. You know, so often when people are looking for that leadership guidance, they think it has to be the celebrity leaders, the ones that you hear about in the newspaper all the time. And someone, you know, I had said something to someone the other day, and I said, I would just love to spend some time with this person. And he said to me, he goes, that's great, Deb. But you know, you have those people around you already. You don't have to wait till that day, till you really connect with that type of leader. And it's very true. You know, just it's those kind of statements kind of stop you in your tracks and make you really think. So what is one book that, because you read a book a day, what is one book that you have read in the past week or are looking forward to reading this week that you know is going to make a big impact or a lesson that you've learned?
So I read a book a day, but I reread one book on my birthday every year. And that is The Man's Search for Meaning. Because this is what I have found. And I reread my books. But think of life as we go through stages. And every single stage, we are mature in a different way. We think in a different way. What was important in my 20s might not be as important in my 30s or in my 40s. And what I realized by rereading a book is that I find these little golden nuggets every single year that goes, oh, I missed that the year before. This is important to me this year. This is what I need to do. And I just had a birthday. And so when I reread it, I'm like, oh, I'm in such a different stage because now I realize that I've done so much in my life. And now I need to realize that maybe I need to take myself to the next level, but in a completely different way. And I've gotten very excited by that. So The Man's Search for Meaning is my Bible, is my book, and that's the best book I've ever read.
And I'm going to have to reread it as well, but now I'm sitting thinking and looking at my library, because I have a little bit of a library just like you do behind you, that there's a few books that I go to reference, but not to fully read from beginning to end again. And so often you hear people saying you should reread them like 6-7 times, because every time, depending on what space you're in, you're going to resonate with that different message. And it's so powerful. And because I claim that tea and book are part of my addiction, but rereading them would definitely help with that addiction, because I could be addicted to different messages instead.
And it's true. I find in biographies, that is the best. If you reread biographies, then each time you say, oh, I missed that part. This is really great. This speaks to me.
Yeah.
So I find that a lot.
I want to thank you so much for this inspirational. There's so many words that coming to my mind, but the one word that you talk about in your book, the rethink, is I think the theme for this interview, in saying that we all need to take a step back, rethink where we are in our leadership, how we want to show up, and not to worry about the other people, but really stepping into our space of greatness and, you know, narrowing the gap. If you can just show us your book cover, I just want to talk about your book just for a few moments here. And it is coming out. And you can pre-order it now. Is that correct?
It's available right now. And if they pre-order it now, they get amazing, amazing gifts and bonuses. And if you even just order one book, you can get a free assessment that most of my clients usually pay $97 for. But the thing about the leadership gap, even though it's called the leadership gap, it's really a life book. It teaches you about who you want to be in life. So it doesn't matter if you're 18 or 90. this book is for you. I have lectured to 18-year-olds and I've spoken to nursing homes, to women. I'm saying, who are you being today? And they laugh and they take in this message. And so this is a kind of book that you will want to pick up year after year and say, who have I been being? Who do I need to become? Where do I want to go? And so it's available now at www.leadershipgapbook.com.
Awesome. And Lolly, how can people stay in touch with you? I know you're on social media because that's how I was first introduced to you until I've had a real introduction to you. So how can people stay in touch with you? Or if they got a nugget, like you said, when you read a book, you write the author to tell them how it's resonated. How can people stay in touch with you?
So you can find me at lollydaskal.com. Write me emails. I answer them all of them personally. And I just, if you read the book and it touches you, if you heard something today and it touches you, tweet me, email me. Both Deborah and I would like to hear about it.
Absolutely. Thank you so much, Lolly Daskal, for coming on our show. At the Millionaire Woman Show, you know, we use the play on words, but the millionaire, because it's about being rich from the inside out, using the principles of leadership, business, and human potential. So thank you so much for coming on the show. You've been a gem, and I know this book is going to just explode and blow people's perceptions of what leadership is and what the gap is from them stepping into their greatness.
Thank you so much. What a privilege and what an honor. Thank you. Thank you.
So again, you can email Lolly or myself. Let us know about the nuggets. This is why we do what we do, because we know that there's the gaps, the lessons that need to be shared. So we do this because this is what we love to do, is help connect those messages with you. So you can email me at Deborah@DeborahKozowski.com. Go to the show notes, the iTunes, write us a review, write a comment. There are many ways you can stay in touch with us, but we like nothing more than to hear from you, and we will answer you back. And again, it's about the leadership principles, the business principles, the human potential principles to help you step into your greatness. As Muhammad Gandhi said, be the change you wish to be in the world. And my message is, go out and make today great. Step into your greatness. Thank you, everyone. See you on the next podcast.